Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everybody.
And University of Rodan political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, all.
And we're pleased to welcome back our guest, Governor Gina Raimondo, the Democratic nominee for governor in Rodan. Thank you for joining us and congratulations on your primary victory last week.
Thank you, Ian. Good morning, everybody.
Governor Raimondo, part of your message against Cranston Mayor Alan Fung is that he has not done a good job in managing the city of Cranston. If that's the case, why did 82% of Republicans vote for Mayor Fung in the primary election last week?
Well, of course, elections are all about choices, and I suppose that those voters thought that given the choices in that primary, he was the best option. But as far as Cranston goes, I think the facts speak for themselves. I mean, he has a clear record of over and over again raising taxes, pension system very underfunded, and as I pointed out repeatedly, schools falling apart, and he's really taken very little action. I think in this election, now in November, there's a very clear choice. You know, my record of bringing change and jobs and strong leadership is clear, and as I said, his record in Cranston speaks for itself.
Part of Mayor Fung's argument against you is that you have an issue with rolling out new initiatives. He points to UHIP, to cooler and warmer, and how on the day after the primary, one of your campaign commercials meant to show footage of Cranston, but it was actually Providence. Is this pattern of troubled rollout something that voters should be concerned about?
You know, as I've said many times with UHIP, it was a project I inherited and we did roll it out poorly. And I've taken ownership for that. There were mistakes made and we have stuck by it to turn the corner. You know, there's always going to be mistakes of that, you know, anytime you do anything. But let's look at what we've accomplished. For the first time in decades, we're fixing our roads. We're fixing our bridges. Outside your window, if we could look out the window here, you'd see a few cranes in the sky. Unemployment numbers are out. Rhode Island has the lowest unemployment rate in nearly 20 years. You know, we've cut taxes every year. I've cut the deficit every year. The facts are the facts. Rhode Island's on the move. And if Mayor Fung's elected governor, he's going to throw us and our economy into reverse.
Let's go to a question from Maureen.
You did very well in the primary, especially in Providence. And one assumes because of the group support that you had from women that that was a help. I've looked carefully at the numbers in terms of the gender gap, and there is a very big gender gap. My question to you is, what's up with men? In other words, you have a very different standing among men than you do among women.
I should ask you guys, or maybe Scott and Ian, to answer that question for me. I'm not sure I have a better answer. You know, I always leave the political analysis to you guys. I don't know, Maureen. You know, as I've created many jobs, certainly many jobs in manufacturing and the building trades and construction, which men and women benefit from. My focus is just on delivering results for Rhode Islanders, and we'll let folks make their own assessment in November.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm wondering if you'll pledge to the people of Rhode Island right now that if you're reelected, you will serve out all 4 years as governor.
Absolutely, 100%.
Let's shift gears and talk about the issue of debates. During your primary campaign with Matt Brown as your top Democratic opponent, you did not take part in any debates, including one here at Rhode Island Public Radio. We will be staging a debate next month with the Providence Journal at University of Rhode Island. Will you agree right now to take part in that debate?
I think you're talking to my campaign about that. I would be very happy to participate, and as long as you guys can settle on a date and, you know, make sure all the candidates are there, I would love to do it.
And what do you say to those people who are disappointed that you did not debate your opponent during the primary election? We know that you were accusing Matt Brown of being dishonest. He said the same thing about you. But isn't it bad for the public interest when elected officials like the governor don't take part in a debate?
Yeah. You know, I can understand them. You know, I've heard it from people. I understand where they're coming from. There's going to be several debates in the general election. We already have the first televised one scheduled for next week. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Ian, as you and I have talked about, I talk to the press and have talked to the press almost every single day I've been governor, so I'm very available. Matt Brown ran an unusually untruthful campaign, and he showed over and over again that every time he had a platform, he just didn't act in good faith. So we made the assessment that it wasn't a good thing to do. But that was then. This is now. And there's going to be a number of forums and debates, and I'm looking forward to them.
You beat Matt Brown pretty decisively, but still 43% of Democratic voters in your own party voted for someone other than you. Mm. And I'm wondering why you had to be so negative against Brown. I looked at some of this direct mail, and it was like the 1964 famous Daisy ad that LBJ ran. You know, with the ridiculous mushroom clowns. And why do we have to be so negative?
You know, that, of course, was not from my campaign. That was from some third party. And I wish all the third party money would go away. And I wish we had campaign finance reform. And I wish there were no dark money in politics. And I think Citizens United was one of the worst decisions our Supreme Court has ever made. And so, you know, that's what I feel about it. The ad that we ran, I stand by it. It was just the facts. He was a guy who hadn't lived in Rhode Island for much of the last 10 or 15 years. People didn't really know who he was. And he was holding himself out to be someone who we thought wasn't, fully accurate. And we wanted to get the facts out there.
Well, the fact is, you're going to need those 43% of the voters in the Democratic primary, you're going to need them to win in November. And I'm wondering, what do you do to get those people back?
Ask them for their vote. The same way I did in the primary, we worked very hard to earn every single vote. And I would ask them, what Rhode Island does not need and cannot afford a Trump-supporting Republican governor right now. So I'm going to ask them to, I think we share the same Democratic values. And I'd like to ask them to support me.
But the thing is, some of the ads that you have put out, there's a lot of negativity. And it really is tiresome on both sides.
Yeah.
And I think discouraging. And I wonder, in the end, you have to do it, but excessively, does it need to be so excessive and so constant?
Yeah, these are good questions for a campaign operative, which I am not.
But how do you feel about it?
I think, like I said, the ads that my campaign has put out, I stand by them. They're factual. They are just the facts. We have an ad now talking about Mayor Fung's record in Cranston. And it's just the facts about how many times he's raised taxes, how poorly he's done, investing in schools, the fact that Cranston didn't even have all-day kindergarten until I became governor and brought that about. So no one likes negative campaigns. I don't either, to be honest. I don't. But they work, sadly. No one likes them, but somehow they really do seem to work. And my view is, if we can keep it to the facts and keep it truthful, then we'll stay there. Can I just say this? I've been campaigning since June, overwhelmingly positive, right? Like, the vast majority of the effort of my campaign, the money of my campaign, the ads in the campaign have been overwhelmingly positive. But there is a clear contrast between my approach and Mayor Fung's approach, and it's our job to bring that out.
Your campaign ran a television ad in perhaps the last 2 or 3 weeks of the campaign of the primary against Matt Brown that was very critical of him. Do you think that was a significant factor in the margin of your 24-point victory over Matt Brown?
I don't know. There's no way to know. Presumably it helped. Again, as I said before, he hadn't been around. A lot of people didn't know him. So I think I will say I did hear from people, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. Presumably it had some impact.
All right, we're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And Governor Gina Raimondo?
Thank you, guys.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And as usual, you can find a lot more on our website at ripr.org.